Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Today is a wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. Another wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. This is Thursday, October the 28th, and I thank God for it. The Lord said he was going to give me a very important message today, and I'm excited about it. To me, it's always exciting to speak under the anointing. And to be honest with you, sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say. Sometimes the Lord says, start recording or begin, and then he'll give me what to say just like now. And I thank God for that. The Lord's return is imminent. And as we walk in his light, we help people see. We help people have a reference, a comparison of the things of God and the lying things of the world. And I love the Lord. I don't want anybody to miss. I know the terror that's coming. People are going to see things they never seen before. They're going to see things coming right out of the spirit world against them. The evil things. Remember something. God didn't make monsters. He made angels. He made beings natural, spiritual, which is terrestrial and celestial. And sometimes, you know, both. We're made in God's image. We have a natural body. We're considered natural, but we're actually natural and spiritual. And the angels, you know, they're known as being celestial, spiritual. But they can appear to people. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But when God created the earth, the sons of God rejoiced while and they watched him do it. So in the beginning, God made the whole universe, expansion, the heavens. And then he made that first, then he made the earth. Because in Job, the sons of God saw it happen. So, but there were some angels that fell away from the love of God, and they lived a life of disobedience against God. They became the enemy of God. And you know the story, Genesis 6, some married women and had great children that were giants. Those would be considered monsters. God didn't create them to be that way. Angels and humans were not supposed to marry. And not only that, they also defile themselves with animals and bugs. And these would be considered monsters to us. They have no love. So when people see things that the enemy has been cooking for years, when it's revealed, their hearts will fit. See, if you study how the beginning, just before the flood, the earth, why would God have to kill everything? He selected the pure animals and those that were truly like he made them. And he selected the true men, you know, Noah, his three sons, and their wives. They were not defiled with giant DNA. Now, I'm saying this because I read the book of Enoch and I listened to other men of God that God raised up to do research on this. I never did that kind of research. I knew that it was there, and I never took the position that these were the sons of Seth, because if it was a male people, they only bear fruit according to their kind. Now, Adam was not a giant. So Seth was not a giant. So there was no way in the world that Seth could produce children under the correct order of God that would be giants. You had to have something else. That's just common sense. Now, when I first started reading the Word of God, I saw that for what it was, because I believe the Word of God. I don't try to critique the Word of God. I let the Word speak to me. I don't tell the Word what it's saying to me. That's the pride of man doing that. You know, I thank God for there's nothing wrong with the way that God wrote it. He wrote it like he meant it. the Holy Spirit is not going to come and utilize a false narrative of man. Now, people say that Genesis chapter 1 is a creation chapter. The only verse that is a creation chapter is verse 1. Verses 2 throughout chapter 1. Verses 2 throughout, that's a restoration. And so, when I first started reading the Word, I studied it. And I studied it. And I looked at it again. When God said, when He first said, "Let there be light," in my brain, I thought it was the sun. Then on the fourth day, He turned on the sun. I said, "Wait a minute, that light was not the sun." I had to go back and look at it again. If you allow people to give you a narrative and believe it's true, then you're going to have a problem with the truth when it's revealed. Or you're going to see the lie for what it is. The Word of God is perfect, man is not. You know, so Genesis 2 to verse 31 is a restoration. And it's also the blueprint of our covenant. See, there's a restoration week, and then there's a covenant week. And if you study everything that happened on every single day, and go back and look at time in thousand-year increments, everything happened on those. What happened on the restoration day happened in the covenant week. The restoration week and covenant week. And one day, as the Lord let me, I'm going to go back and point things out. You know, Jesus came on, He died for us on a Wednesday, which was Passover. And that would have been on Wednesday was the fifth day. No, I'm sorry, the fourth day. Yeah, Wednesday would have been the fourth day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then we have 2,000 years until the Sabbath day when Jesus reigns for that 1,000-year period of the covenant week. See, on the seventh day, God rested. See, so you got to look at what God is doing. The restoration week mirrors the covenant week. And I suggest, if you'd like to learn facts, Holy Ghost facts, listen to all 5 broadcasts of Our Covenant Week. Now, it's named Our Covenant Week because we're in agreement with God. This is God's covenant to man, so we're involved in it. We're washed in the blood of Jesus, so we're in it. Now, if people don't study it, and they don't know what's going to happen, the enemy is going to lie. And they're going to have a problem. They're going to have to choose between the lie that Satan gave them or the truth of God's word. And remember, the Holy Spirit will only deal with truth. If you pay attention to all the messages you preachers, all that are preachers, thank God for you. If you pay attention to the messages that the Holy Ghost give, it has nothing to do with the narratives that people have received. That's wrong. So if you compare what God is giving, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us information and wait a minute, Lord, in your mind you thought that was another way. But when it comes, you have to examine what comes from the Holy Spirit and line it up to the Word of God. Now, on the radio, the Lord had me to do this because there's so much deception. Wolves have entered in. Tares have grown to be wolves. And some of them happen to be pastors and church and people in church leadership. And I advise the people on the radio, I said, go and study everything Jesus said and compare it. Compare everything your pastor has been teaching. You know what he's been teaching if you've been to church and listening to him. Line them up with what Jesus said. And then I said, and study 1 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, and line them up with what Peter wrote. And then go and read what Apostle John wrote and line them up with what Apostle John wrote, chapters, John 1, 2, and 3, and also line them up with what Paul wrote. And then I said, and then read the book of Revelation, and then go and study Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and then go and look at the law. Now, if a man of God don't line up with the Word of God, you need to know it. And the reason I did that is because people need to start looking at the Word for what it says. People are not going to always be right. That doesn't mean they're lost. Sometimes it does mean they're lost. But if a person is saying something and you receive it as truth, you need to know whether they're right or not. You need to know what you need to reject. And then, by all means, you'll know how to pray for that person that you love. I love all pastors, even the bad ones. But I'm going to line people up by the Word of God. And I thank God I have a good pastor. And they speak by the Holy Ghost continually. If I teach something in Sunday school sometimes, and I go to church, well, every time I go, and the pastor will, the Holy Spirit will give him the same thing all over again. And everybody that go to Sunday school, we look at each other and laugh. It's a blessing to be in, to live in unison with the Holy Ghost. And others are doing the same thing. I've gotten so many wonderful confirmations. But that's the power of going to a good godly church. And it's not, you're not slighting your pastor if you line him up with the Word. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing what the Bereans did in Acts. And Paul, he commended them. He said they were more noble because they didn't just take the apostles' word for it. They lined it up with Scripture. And all the apostles were excited about them. And I want people to line me up with, do the same thing. What I'm telling you, go back and look at what Jesus taught, what John taught, what Peter taught, what Paul taught, and line my behind up with him. Because I love you. I care about you. I want people to know God's word. I don't ever want to, that was a huge concern of mine. I said, Lord, I messed stuff up. I don't want to teach somebody wrong and start another paradigm that's wrong. I want to do what's right. I don't want to contribute to any lie that Satan has pushed on us. When I first got saved, I saw sincere Christians teaching differently. I said, something's wrong. Sometimes Mike Murdoch said one time, when something bothers you, that's part of your, you know, if something is a problem for you, you're going to find your purpose. You know, the things that aggravate you or the things that stand out, that you problems you desire to solve. Your calling is to rectify something like that. And I gravitate to Christians who receive, the only way we can do this right is receive from the Holy Spirit. I got that much figured out. We study the word, receive it. The Holy Spirit give us what to say. It comes out perfect. Though we're not perfect. When a perfect work is being done through a person that was once lost, that's a miracle. Now, but it's always possible. We don't have to, and the more we receive and speak the truth of God's word, the intended meaning of God's word, the more we grow. And that's what I want. That's what I desire to have. Just because we were once lost and influenced by the world don't mean we have to stay that way. We can ever grow from glory to glory. And that's what needs to happen. And the more people that receive from the Holy Spirit, the more the darkness will be unrolled. See, the darkness have covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. And I found out the hard way that many people have been seduced in ways they don't understand. And they're parroting things that they have been taught, and the Holy Ghost will only give us truth. So the more we follow God, the more deception we will expose for the lie that it really is. And that grossly, that greatly need to happen. That really needs to happen. And it needs to happen so that more people can live. People make choices by their unbeliefs, by their doubts, by their false paradigms. And they're right. They think they're right. In their mind, they're right. But the Holy Spirit, see, when you line up a thought to the Word of God, you see the thought for the lie that it really is. Or if the pastor tells the truth and you thought he was lying and you line him up and you find out he was right and you was wrong. This works both ways. It's not to critique the man. You need to know what's right. And you need, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to use. And sometimes you just have to, if you have to stand alone, stand alone. I made a choice. I said I would not knowingly preach something wrong. If I don't know, I'll tell it, or I just won't say anything. I'll only speak what the Holy Spirit give me. I have some opinions, but I'm not going to share them unless the Holy Spirit prompt me to, because I want everything that I preach to be sanctioned by Him. And if he prompts me, if I get the prompting to share something that I believe is true, sometimes I ask for a confirmation. But if the it depends on, sometimes with the prompting, more revelation come, and I have the green light to go ahead and proceed to teach it. Then I teach it. So I'm not in a hurry to just go out there and teach something just to make myself look good. That's crazy. I believe James. We're gonna have to give a preachers are gonna have to give an account for what they teach, and I don't want to be on the wrong side of that judgment. I want whatever I do to be sanctioned by God, and I pray that if I do say something that's cross, that the Holy Spirit will convict me so I can fix it. So I can say, hey, when I said that was wrong. Okay, now, and you know, we just got to. I've seen preachers do that before, and I admire them too. You know, I thank God for that. So you can, you know, my pastor said that Kenneth Hagin said that, you know, you want to walk right behind Jesus. Don't try to get beside him, and don't try to get ahead of him. Stay right behind him, and you'll be safe. Wisdom, great wisdom. Both of those men of God are wise. And when you're wise and you keep making wise decisions, you'll be known for being very wise. Just like my pastors are. I love them. Now go. God is moving by His Spirit, and He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand His Word and His ways. His return is imminent, and we need to be ready. We need to be in. What it means to be ready is live in His likeness. Live in His likeness. Satan said that he was going to be like the Most High God. Isn't it ironic that Jesus made us in His likeness? We're made in His image. If you parallel what Satan said and what God did in us, it's a mockery against what everything Satan said. You can't, man, it's so remarkable. You know, let's look at what Satan said since I brought that up. Isaiah 14 and 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then God said, let us make man in our image. Oh, man. I know Satan wasn't counting on that to happen. You know, the satanic mind, the way it works, I'm going to be better than God. And then God make a man out of dirt, out of the dust of the earth. The dust, the most insignificant part of the earth, God made a man. Now, I got this from Mom Power. She was asking the Lord why in the 70s, you know, the schools, the high schools and the elementary schools all integrated in Birmingham. segregation shouldn't. You know, Satan thought he messed us all up through slavery, then segregation. You know, he got the whole country living in animosity. But, you know, this country, we went through all our turmoil, but we won. I'm not talking about black people or white people as a, I'm talking about as a Christian society. The ways of God prevail. Segregation was done away with. Shouldn't have never happened. Slavery was overcome and done away with. Shouldn't have never happened. If the love of God had prevailed, if the Christians had walked in the total light of God, slavery would never have happened in the first place. But remember something, though. Everybody were not Christians, and Christians were also deceived, just like the scientific community and the religious community. There is deception out there. Darkness has covered the earth. That's why these things happen. Now, so our ancestors made a mess. And you know, if you go back in time far enough, black people own slaves too. So our ancestors, they all made a mess. Satan tried to mess us up every which way he could. But go to current time, we overcome segregation. And the schools started, had the desegregation. All right, well, the thoughts and opinions didn't stop just because they made the law. People had to adjust to it, which I find, you know, over the years, they did better and better. Now, Mom Powell asked the Lord, why are the races so violent against each other? And the Lord said, how many types of men are there? No, he said, how many types of soil are there? Well, she said, red clay, yellow clay, white sand, brown soil, black soil, white sand. You see, yellow clay, red clay, white sand, brown soil, and black soil. That's five types. Then he said, how many types of man are there? Okay, you got red, yellow, black, brown, and white. You mix them together, that's the dust of the earth that God made Adam with. Now, he said, let us make man in our image. Now, Satan saw this. You know, he knew what God had done. He got these five types of souls. The dust of the earth, the most insignificant part of the earth, and made a man in his image. Then here comes Jesus. And you know, God became a man. And remember, Satan came to tempt Jesus. If you be the Son of God, turn this rock into this stone into bread. Jesus said, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm going to show you something with that. Jesus came as a man, all his knowledge. Remember something else about Jesus. He was the Word of God before he was made a man. Before he became man, he was the living Word of God. He made everything out there, including Satan. And not Satan, but Lucifer. He made the angels. He made the planets, the people, everything. Everything that was made by the Word of God. But the Word became flesh. When he became flesh, he came as a man. He had to learn everything. He didn't get to keep his vast knowledge. He had to grow from glory to glory, just like we do. But he was born without sin. So, but as a man, Jesus, our King in Ephesians, let's look at Ephesians 4. We'll go back to Isaiah. See, look what our King did. I love him so much. Let's see, is that Ephesians 6? I'm sorry. All right, look at this. That's right, Ephesians 4. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Verse 7. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He made us in his likeness. Watch this. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Watch this. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He went all the way down. He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He went all the way to the lowest hell and rose up again. We rose up with him, of course, all that would believe on it. Then he descended far above. He ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he did this as a man made of the most insignificant parts of the earth. While angels are made of gold and bronze and precious stones, the better parts of the earth. Now let's go back to Isaiah. You know, God, all the things that Satan did, he made himself look so grand. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's because he wasn't there yet. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I would be like the Most High. But the Lord became flesh. Jesus became flesh, made of the most insignificant parts of the earth. And then he ascended above all heavens. See, before him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, not just among men, but from the heavens on down. And they're going to worship Jesus, who took the throne from Satan, who took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. And now he ascended, and now he's like the Most High, made in God's image. And this already happened. Satan already lost. He's been dethroned. Jesus saw him thrust down like lightning. So all he has is lies to use. If he's talking, he's lying. If he's thinking about something, he's preparing a lie. Now watch what happens. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. These are those that didn't fall. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trotting under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land, slain thy people. The seed of the evildoer shall never be renowned or honored. So the one that said he was going to ascend into heaven and end up being like the Most High, he's going to be in the pit, and everybody that he deceived are going to look at him. Is this what caused all this problem? All the foolish people that listened to him will see him. Is this the man that caused all this trouble? And they bowed down to a worm. But those that, the least of God's people, and I mean the least of God's people, the people that's almost ready to backslide, but they hang on in there and they get raptured and go to heaven, they're going to be better than Lucifer ever was. They're gonna see, they'll get to grow from glory to glory over time. You know, with it, understand something. When you go to heaven, you don't stop learning. You ever increase. In 1,000 years, you're going to be totally different. In 1,000,000 years, you're going to be totally different. But time is not registered like we know it now. But remember, forever is eternal. It never stops. It never stops. When you live to be 1,000,000, you'll live to be 10 more million. When you live to be 10 million, you'll live to be 1,000,000,000 years old. This is what salvation is. And you will grow from glory to glory forever. In our lifetime, you can get 2 or 3 careers. You could, some people become a doctor, then they go and become a lawyer. They have 2. They become a medical lawyer. You know, that's 2 wonderful careers to have. And then some go back and take computer skills. Now they got that under their belt. Well, that's in the lifetime of one man. That's very impressive to me. Now, some mechanics become engineers. That's 2 careers in one lifetime. Now, let's say we live 200 years. How many more careers we can attain? And then we live 1,000 years. That's what salvation is. We grow from glory to glory. It never stops. But the wisdom of Satan ever decreases. Consider these things. The Lord loves us. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. They that follow God ever increase in truth, in righteousness, and we become useful to God. There is so much more to attain. There is so much more to attain. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.